Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Whether you watch in English on Fusion or in Spanish on Unimas, Outpost brings journalists and personalities together to uncover unique corners of the world. Actress Mia Maestro from Alias and The Strain is one of Outpost's guest contributors, and she joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Comedy novel Famous in Love becomes Freeform's next original drama Tuesday night. Bella Thorne stars in A Portrait of Sudden Celebrity and Consequences. Author and co-executive producer Rebecca Searles enters our showcase next half hour. Also ahead, Outsiders gets axed. We have the late-breaking details. TV writers and producers keep talking. No Fox cable blackout yet. And our newest classic trivia winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. An outstanding good Friday 2017 to you and all, and wherever you are, whether you're catching a holiday or not, today or this weekend, we welcome you to the program All About Television. We have a jam-packed hour in store for you, some terrific guests along the way, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. All it takes, your voice, your phone, and this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're not into the phone on this Good Friday 2017, no problem. We have a chat room you can use. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and we're awaiting you to be in the room and be involved. And while the room is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And we expect actress Mia Maestro from Outpost to be live with us after these news notes. WGN America has swung the axe on Outsiders, its popular drama about a family in modern Appalachia. The series, one of two originals now on the network along with Underground, will wrap up its second season April 25th. In a statement put out the last hour by Peter Kern, the chief executive of WGN Parent Tribune Media, and I'm paraphrasing here, Outsiders' sudden cancellation will be followed by an expanded, more diverse original forming direction. Sony, which makes Outsiders, will try to revive the series elsewhere. More than 2 million people already catch Outsiders each week. It is the channel's most popular original program. A couple of things we should point out. No additional comments from Sony at this hour, despite the fact it says it will try to shift the network, the program to other networks. There's been some Twitter sensations noting that Max Schismeyer, the general manager of WGN America, may be on the way out, may already have taken an exit. That has not been confirmed by either WGN America or Tribune Media. And Underground has not been canceled, especially after the big Harriet Tubman episode this past Wednesday. Peter McKay, by the way, has not given a comment. That's the creator of Underground of Outsiders. He was on our show last year, and we're waiting to see if he makes a statement on the future of the program. So once again, if you haven't heard, WGN America has given the axe to Outsiders after 2 seasons on the air. The final episode after the second season will be on WGN America April 25th. We'll obviously monitor the situation with both Outsiders and GN America, and we'll keep you posted on any late details. Good Friday 2017 was no holiday for television writers and producers in Los Angeles. Writers Guild of America representatives met with TV producers to get a new contract together. It's the fifth day of negotiations between these groups, and a news blackout on the nature and progress, if any, by them remains in effect. The current Guild agreement expires May 1st. A first round of talks resulted in no deal last month, and the parties had dropped their negotiations for the day and the weekend. They're going to take the weekend off and we'll resume talks Monday. We just got that word a few minutes ago. So once again, the talks between the Writers Guild and TV and film producers on a new contract have done for the day and for the weekend. They will be back at the table next Monday morning, and they expect to stay at the bargaining table for at least the following week. 1 week ago, Fox would charge Spectrum cable customers that FX, National Geographic, and other Fox-managed channels would go dark, probed to an inability to reach a new carriage deal. Those channels are still playing at the moment on Charter Spectrum systems, thanks to daily extensions of talks between Fox and Charter. However, Fox continues to warn Spectrum customers by radio, television spots, other ways, that the channels covered by the situation, which includes Fox's group of regional sports networks around the country, could be blacked out at any time. And Univision's groundbreaking Edición Digital, new newscast, launched last September, expands to some local levels Monday. The network affiliates in New York City, Dallas, and Miami will premiere 30-minute editions of their own immediately following the national broadcast at 12:30 p.m. Eastern or local time. Also, Univision's California stations will band together for a statewide version the same afternoon. Following the network's initiative, all four newscasts will be simulcast live on station websites, social media, and possibly YouTube. Houston, another place of a Univision affiliate, will begin its own edition on digital May 8th as a Spanish-language newscast, and I believe Edition Digital is the first national Spanish-language newscast at the noon hour. And that is news notes for – oh, one more news note before we wrap it up. We learned also a few minutes ago that AMC is going to get Fear the Walking Dead, a fourth season. The third season premieres in a few weeks. And that is news notes for today. We're expecting actress Mia Maestro to join us any moment from either Los Angeles or elsewhere. You may know that she is involved in a series called Outpost. It's one of the most unique series now playing on Sunday nights. It plays at 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. on Fusion in English and 11 p.m. on Unimas, the sister spinoff network of Univision. Both networks, by the way, are owned by Power Univision Communications. It's a very unusual series, magazine format, half-hour episode, and it deals both with investigative journalism by Fusion correspondents and by guest contributors like Mia Maestro. Some of the other guest contributors include John Petit, the orchestra leader on Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Jason Silva of Brain Games and the new Nat Geo series Origins. She was on our show several weeks ago. Yes, former professional boxer Mike Tyson, New York chef Lahia Gohar, and others as well. And as I mentioned, Mia Maestro, the wonderful actress who was opposite Jennifer Garner for several seasons on Alias, more recently spent the first two seasons on FX's The Strain in a co-starring role, is scheduled to be with us at this hour. We're still waiting for her. If anybody knows where she is, please have her get on the phone and give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we see her on the air ready to go, we will put her on. Mia's segment, which I believe is running this Sunday night, deals with her native Buenos Aires, Argentina. She goes back there to check out the entrepreneurial scene. And I understand she checks out everything from unique businesses to virtual reality using headgear. And again, we think that segment is going to be running on Outpost this Sunday night at 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Fusion TV and on Unimas, that's the Spanish language network of Univision, and that's at 11 p.m. also Eastern and Pacific Time. And believe it or not, it's been 19 years, that's right, 19 years since Maestro first broke onto the entertainment scene. She was the co-star of the Oscar and Golden Globe nominated foreign language movie Tango, as a film that was put together by Mr. Flamenco filmmaker, one of the top filmmakers in Spanish history, Carlos Sora. His films include Carmen, Blood Wedding, and, yes, a film called Flamenco. Tango, by the way, as I mentioned, was nominated for an Oscar and for a Golden Globe as Best Foreign Language Movie of the Year came out. And a wonderful music score by Lalo Schifrin, the composer of the Mission Impossible, Mannix, other great TV and movie themes and music. Also, the Eyewitness News theme, still used by some stations around the country, taking off his score from Cool Hand Luke. And personal thought, I saw Tango, loved the film, and should point out that I thought that Schifrin's music should have been up for an Oscar for Best Original Score. Didn't turn out that way. But Mia made a big splash in that film, later went on to do The Motorcycle Diaries, other films like Poseidon. She made her TV debut opposite Andy Garcia in the acclaimed HBO movie For Lover Country, The Arturo Sandoval Story. That movie, directed by the acclaimed director Joseph Sargent, in my opinion, the best made-for-TV movie in the history of that idiom, did win an Emmy for Arturo Sandoval's score. Sandoval, of course, the Cuban exile, trumpet player, and band leader, who is still performing today and doing very, very well in performances all over the country. And since that time, as I mentioned, Maestro was, for several seasons, co-starred opposite Jennifer Garner on ABC's Alias, and then a couple of years ago, was on the first two seasons of FX's The Strain, put together by Guillermo del Toro, another master filmmaker. So anyway, we are waiting for Mia to come on the air. So Mia, if you hear us, get on the phone and give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Rebecca Searle. She is the novelist who put together a series called Famous in Love, starring Bella Thorne of Shake It Up fame. And that series premieres next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock on Freeform, part of an original doubleheader that begins with the beginning of the final season of Pretty Little Liars. The connection point, Marlene King is the executive producer on both series. And that's from 8 o'clock to 9 is Pretty Little Liars' final season opener, and then the premiere of Famous in Love, which has already picked up about 140,000, 150,000 Facebook followers pre show. So Rebecca will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And we should tell you that coming up on Tomorrow Be Televised next Monday, we've got another great doubleheader for you in terms of guests. First, from Andy Tribeca, the popular series on WTBS, we will have the executive producer, Ira Ungerleiter. And then we have a very unusual pair of guests for you. They're both from the unique Univision Netflix collaboration, El Chapo. Yes, it's the dramatization of the alleged notorious drug dealer, whose trial, by the way, I believe comes up next month here in the United States. We're going to meet the creative producer of this project, which is a collaboration between Netflix and Univision, and Univision will get the first opportunity to show that program, and it will be doing so in about a week and a half. We will have the creator and writer, Sylvia Aguirre-Zagara, and the producer, Daniel Posada. They will both be with us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, internet-exclusive interviews right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And coming up a week from today, another pair of terrific guests from Genius, the first National Geographic speaking series. We'll have writer and co-executive producer, Noah Pink. And from the Viceland series, Beerland, that premieres on April 27th, we'll have entrepreneur and founder of Golden Road Brewing, one of the largest independent brewers in Los Angeles, Meg Gill. That's all coming up a week from Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Yes, we've got some big people coming your way in the TV world with some major TV projects coming up in the next few weeks right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. All right, so while we wait for me and Maestro to come on the program, tell you what we'll do. We'll switch gears a little bit while we wait for Mia to come on, and we're going to bring you our classic trivia question of the week. And for the second week in a row, we have a winner, and that winner is Shannon Wilkins of Cape Coral, Florida. And she may be our fastest winner in history of this program, nearly 10 years. We've been doing the classic trivia question now for about, 2.5, 3 years. Shannon was on our program on Monday when, among other guests we had, was the former New Kids on the Block member, Joey McIntyre, whose new series as executive producer and star, Return of the Mac, premiered this past Wednesday on Pop Network. Well, Shannon was in our chat room, one of our new listeners for that day, and less than 10 minutes after we went off the air, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, she got the answer to this classic trivia question. In the TV series My So-Called Life, that's the series that Claire Danes made her super debut on ABC way back when, in what city did that program take place? The answer, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania was the answer to this week's classic trivia question of which city that My So-Called Life took place. And for getting that answer first and correct, Shannon Wilkins, Cape Coral, Florida, is getting Inside 9/11, the acclaimed National Geographic documentary on DVD with additional bonus features. So congratulations, Shannon. Thanks for playing. See, as we say here all the time, in order to win, be in. Shannon was, and that's why she's getting Inside 9/11. From National Geographic. So congratulations to Shannon for doing so at Cape Coral, Florida. That's our second classic trivia weekly winner in a row. Will we make it 3-for-3 next week? We'll start finding out on Monday. We'll have a brand new question and we'll have a brand new prize. And it's a prize in advance. We're going to be offering a new novel that's about to be published. It's called The Graves. And it comes from Pam Weschel, one of the writer-producers on one of the top new series on broadcast TV this season, Bull, Tuesday night on CBS. And the novel is called The Graves, fascinating novel, interesting premise. And Pan's publisher has agreed to offer it as a prize next week. So that's what's in play next week. We'll give you the question on Monday's show, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, around halfway through the show on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win that prize. How do you get involved? Well, once you hear the question, if you have the answer, you email me, just like Shannon did this past week. The email you use is simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you play, enclose your name and your full mailing address. So, like Shannon, if you get the answer quick, we will get the prize out to you as quickly as possible. And if you miss the question because you tune in late, you don't tune in, no problem. I'll post the question on my Facebook page the following Tuesday morning and at Twitter at UVCSimonTWBT. That's at UVCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. Will we make it 3 in a row? We'll find out starting Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And I'd love to see it happen. We haven't done that in a long time, so we got a good streak going. Thanks to Shannon Wilkins. Thanks to us, Lee, of course, our winner the previous week from Denver, Colorado. And her prize is already on the way to her, so I think she hasn't gotten it by now. and we appreciate everybody playing. Again, in order to win, be in. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. All right, we're still waiting for Mia Maestro to join us. She is one of the guest contributors of Outpost, the new weekly magazine series that appears on Fusion TV in English at 8:11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, and in Spanish on Unimas, the spinoff network several years ago from Univision, and that's at 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. It's a half-hour episode every week. And Mia's subject deals with the Buenos Aires and Argentina entrepreneur scene, which is going in all sorts of very interesting directions. So, Mia, if you or somebody you know is hearing us, please give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And we'll get you on the air ASAP. Tell you what, we'll take a little quick break. More Tomorrow Before Life is coming your way after a message from the fine folks at Audible.com. David Letterman's biography came out earlier this week, and if you get a trial subscription to Audible.com, you can hear it. Letterman is narrated for Audiobook Land by Michael Goldstrom. It's gotten rave reviews, and again, you can hear it by picking up a wonderful URL. That's audibletrial.com/telllive, and check out a 30-day trial to audible.com. You know, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. And all you have to do to get Letterman or get any book of your choice, it could be covering television, radio, old-time pop culture, all sorts of great things, current news, the wonderful selection of titles you got is amazing at any given time. And what you do is you get one free audiobook, you get 1 month trial of the service, and the customer service, because Audible is from Amazon.com, is incredible. So all you have to do is go to this URL, sign in, make it happen. AudibleTrial.com/televised. That's AudibleTrial.com/televised. Remember, you can get Letterman, any book of your choice. It's one free. 1 month trial of the service is free. Great customer service. And the big thing is, you, and I do mean you, can make it happen, okay? So once again, audibletrial.com/televised. Okay, I believe that she, our guest, is in. Joining us now live, Mia Maestro. Mia, welcome in.
Hey, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you with us. How did this assignment to be part of Outpost come your way?
You know, the connection is not very good. I cannot hear you very well, so I may ask you to repeat the question again, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, Mia. So how did the opportunity part of Outpost come your way?
Well, I know the producer, Juan Redon, who's a dear friend of mine, and he was getting ready to go to Argentina and shoot this episode. And because I'm from there, that's, you know, Buenos Aires is my city where I was born. My family's still there. And he thought I would be a good host for the show. And it was wonderful for me because I got to see a very different side of my city and my country and just get, you know, I got to meet this wonderful group of entrepreneurs that that normally I'm not in touch with. You know, when I go back home, I'm normally just hanging out with family and friends. And so it was really a lovely experience.
Mm-hmm. What did you expect when you went back there to do this report, and were you surprised at what exactly you saw?
Well, I was not surprised at what people were doing there and the kind of businesses they had, because Argentina is it's an ever-changing country. We have an incredible, creative energy. Our society, you know, we go through a lot economically, and our country has a lot of challenges politically, but somehow, the Argentines have maintained a level of creativity and that it's quite impressive. So I was surprised at some of the wonderful businesses that these guys have put together, but not totally. You know, we did a couple of interviews, for example, with the virtual reality with guys from 7R, which is a great virtual reality company over there, and they do short films and they do video games. And that was surprising for me because I didn't think we had an industry for that from Buenos Aires.
Well, since you had a chance to see virtual reality for yourself, what did you think about it? Do you think now, hey, maybe this is a new direction for my career?
I don't know. You know, everybody has fashion that way. I love virtual reality, and I think it's a wonderful medium. On the other hand, I really like the old-fashioned way of just telling a story, and I love the work of an editor behind a story and behind a piece of television or cinema. So I think I'm going to stay with the the traditional way.
Mm-hmm. Has your segment run yet? I think it may be running this Sunday night. If not, it ran a week or so ago. Do you know when it's running?
I think it's Sunday night, yeah. And it ran, I think, last week. And I think it's Sunday night at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on Sunday night at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Fusion in English, and it's on Unimax, the Spanish language network from Univision, on 11 o'clock Eastern Pacific time. We've been saying that, by the way, a number of times before you came on today. Is there an interesting direction that entrepreneurs are going in Argentina, in your native land, that we should know more about here, that we should pay attention to?
Do you know what? I think the main thing about Argentina is the economy sometimes is that it's the main adversary for entrepreneurs, for young entrepreneurs, and somehow these kids have been able just to get that, you know, to see that as a positive thing. So for example, we met with this great company, and they created the best and first foldable electric bike, and it's rated like the best foldable electric bike in the world, and already, you know, they have tons of pre-orders, and the idea occurred to them because in their province, in Córdoba, in the north of the country, one day there was a strike, and then the strike, you know, lasted for a whole week, and people couldn't get to work, so they just decided that they were just going to invent something, a bike that you could carry in the subway, and that it would be foldable, and then you know that you can get to work really quickly. And they came up with this idea. They raised, you know, millions of dollars already to manufacture them. So I just thought it was interesting, you know, that they would just take like maybe negative parts of the country or things that may be happening in our society, and then just making them into something lucrative.
Mm-hmm. It's before I ask you about where you see your career in TV and film and so forth going, Mia, if you get a second opportunity to do a report for Outpost, where would you like to go? Is there a place either in Argentina or beyond Argentina that you'd like to showcase?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I travel a lot to China, and I love tea very much. So I travel to Asia for tea, mainly China, sometimes Malaysia. So that would be a lovely, you know, a lovely trip to do, just to get deep in the tea world and in the mountains and do interviews with the farmers and people that have a sustainable tea business. That would be wonderful, and it's something that not many people know about. So I think that would be my first choice. And then my second choice would be I do cave diving. It's one of my favorite things to do in my leisure time, and it would be lovely to do a little segment maybe in Mexico in the caves in nearby Tulum, where I go probably like once or twice a year to do the cave diving.
We're speaking live with actress Mia Maestro and her segment on Outpost, the unique magazine series coming on Fusion and on Unimax Sunday night. It happens this weekend, 8 p.m. Eastern and 11 p.m. in English on Fusion TV. That's English at the Eastern Pacific time, and 11 p.m. on Unimax. And Mia joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live, Internet Radio exclusive on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum will be live from New York. 59 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Mia, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up after the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined live here in New York by Rebecca Searle, one of the newest members of the novelist fraternity, who's getting involved with television. Her novel, Famous in Love, becomes a freeform series starring Bella Thorne of Shake It Up fame this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Are you amazed, Mia, that, believe it or not, it's been 19 years since you broke on the world scene with Tango?
Yeah, it's crazy. I was listening to the intro that you did, and it's actually crazy that it's been 19 years. That was my first film. It was my first job as a professional actress, besides some theater that I had done before that. So, yeah, it's incredible that so much time has passed by. And even when you were talking about Alias, so much time has passed by since Alias as well. I've been very lucky. You know, it's been like 19 wonderful years and of a career that I love and a craft that I keep on working on.
By the way, how did you get the role in Tango? How did that happen?
Oh, that's a funny story. I was doing a play at the time at the National Theater, and I had just come out of acting school, and I knew that Carlos Saura was in town doing an audition, and he was one of my favorite directors. And I just I found out where the audition was, and I knocked on the door, and the casting director said that they wouldn't see any actors without any appointments. And I said that I didn't have an appointment, but I really would like to read for the part, whatever that was, if she could give me the sides. And she did, and I got the part. So it was like this one of these crazy stories where, you know, being super young and courageous, I just went for it. So.
And boy, you did. I saw the film. It's an amazing movie. It holds up beautifully. The cinematography, the supporting cast, and as I said earlier, I thought Lalo Schifrin's music should have got an Oscar nomination with that score. I really do. I think that was an unfortunate miscue.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Victoria Serrato did the cinematography, and he's, you know, he's one of the most incredible DPs in the world. So it was such an honor to work with both Carlos Saura and Victoria on my first film.
You had a very interesting career in television. I mentioned the first film you did, The Lover Country, the Arturo Sandoval story. You're opposite Andy Garcia. Joseph Sargent, brilliant director, put it in. Won Sandoval himself an Emmy for the music score based on his decision to leave Cuba under Castro's rule and come to the United States and have an incredible career. But you've had an incredible career with that, with other major TV movies, with Alias, with The Strain. Where do you want to take your career in television from here?
I don't know. There's so much amazing stuff on TV, you know, and I did The Strain with Guillermo, and I was in season 1 and 2, and that was an incredible, incredible experience working with him and with Chuck Hogan, who's one of the co-writers, and Carlton Cuse, producer and writer. And this year I have a few independent movies that I'm working on, producing and acting. But it would be lovely just to do, you know, another TV show. I think it's just so wonderful when you get to do 10 or 12 episodes a year and you get to really work on a character deeply, you know. And also I think like you, people really open their hearts for those, for those roles and for those characters and for the stories that we tell in television. So it's a quite unique dialogue, you know, between the audience and the actor when you're on TV and when you're in everyone's living room. So, you know, weekly. So I'm really looking forward to doing television again. I took like a year and a half hiatus of TV, and I was mainly films and small indies in my country, and then I did this project with HBO. But I'm ready to go back and do something on TV.
Mm-hmm. Do you see at some point following the lead of other actresses, particularly actresses of color, like Kerry Washington, like Regina King, like Gina Rodriguez, America Ferrari, who have decided I want to do programming on television that I have creative control on as an executive producer? I mean, do you see yourself being an entrepreneur, if you will, or an impresario in terms of not just hacking your own material, but also creating it, writing it, putting it together?
Well, I think, you know, that's a wonderful place to be. And of course, you know, especially the actresses that you just mentioned, they're incredibly talented and they've been on television shows for a long time. So it makes total sense that after a few years, you just want to, have a little bit of creative control and also, you know, have a saying in the project that you're doing. So yeah, that would be amazing because that would mean that you're doing like a beautiful TV show for a long time with incredible writing and that the audience loves. So that's, you know, that's a wonderful place to be.
And before I let you go, do you see comedy as maybe a new direction for you? That's because a lot of times when people think of you on television or film, it's drama, sometimes very, very dramatic, sometimes very, very unique, very quirky. Could comedy possibly be a new direction for you?
Yeah, you know, I love doing comedy. I kind of do it like a straight face kind of comedy. And yeah, that, you know, that wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't say no to that. But I tend to get cast for dramatic roles, you know. That's been like, you know, the way my career has gone, you know, through the years. But yeah, I'm always open to doing comedy for sure. There's something about like the 1 hour drama format that I love though, you know. Because you can tell so much more, and you can really, you know, tell the stories with more depth. But you know, it would be wonderful to do comedy as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, with drama, dramas have become more complex. The characters have become more interesting. Different sides. It's not totally black white. There's a lot of gray. There's a lot of, and there's also it seems like more respect for the audience. Like, hey, maybe you can take a character that's got so many sides to it. That and everything is not resolved in a couple of episodes or one episode at the very end.
Yeah, I have a hard time hearing you, so I don't know if you asked me a question or not. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just observing that, you know, in this era of, you know, mass scripted television, especially with dramas, that we're seeing more dramas where the characters are more complex. You have more sides and shades to a character than you ever have been. You don't have to wrap up the character, the plot in an episode or two. You can let it go on.
Yeah, sure.
You can surprise the audience, and the audience seems to be willing to take it. It's like, hey, you're respecting our intelligence. We like this. We like this direction, and that's why we're watching.
Yeah, of course. I mean, as we all know, the TV plots are getting more complex and also they have a more cinematic kind of structure as well, which is wonderful, you know, and there's the suspense of different kinds of endings and different ways of writing, and it's, I mean, television is, it's truly in its prime, and it's just been so wonderful to, you know, I moved here to the States 17 years ago, right after Tango. So just to see like this big leap that television has had over the past, you know, seven years has been pretty remarkable. So yeah, I think all the actors want more of that, you know, because there's incredible roles for us to play.
Me and my Astros turn as a guest contributor to Outpost happens this Sunday night, 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. East Pacific time on Fusion in English, and on Unimas at 11 p.m. East Pacific time in Spanish. Check your local news for where both channels are running in your area on cable and satellite, and in the case of Unimas, it's running on broadcast stations around the country. For more details about Outpost and Mia's segment online, here's where you go. In English, www.fusion.net. And in Spanish, www.univision.com/Unimas. That's www.univision.com/Outpost. Again, 8 and 11 p.m. East Pacific time on Fusion, 11 p.m. on Unimas. Me and Maestro, thank you very, very much for taking time on this Good Friday 2017 to be with us. I've followed your career from Tango One. It's been a pleasure to have you on, and you're welcome back anytime. Thanks again, and all the great to see you.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. Take care. All the greatest.
Okay, bye-bye.
Me and Maestro joining us live right here on Tomorrow We Televise. When we come back, joining me here in New York, the novelist whose work, Famous in Love, becomes a Freeform series Tuesday night. Rebecca Searle joins in after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And this is your home for What's the Buzz NYC. Join Nancy Lombardo every week, various times right here, for her own brand of humor about what's happening in the Big Apple. What's the Buzz NYC? Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com, and you can also check out our show and other Blog Talk programs on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow We Televise on Good Friday 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 59 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you're aboard, whatever holiday you are celebrating or not celebrating, as the case may be this day and this weekend. And if you have a question or comment for our next guest, get on the phone, 646 652-2906, or use our chat room, 7Apple04 by name. A very special Tuesday night is coming on Freeform. The network is drawing two programs that are debuting. One, the final season of Pretty Little Liars, and two, a new series based on the best-selling novel starring Bella Thorne, who you remember her, the co-star with Zendaya of the Disney Channel hit series Shake It Up. It's called Famous in Love, and the novelist is now the co-executive producer and creator of that adaptation. Joining me live here in New York, Rebecca Searle. Rebecca, welcome in.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here, and thank you for making the time, Rebecca. What's it like for you a few days before your novel becomes a TV series?
It's very exciting. There's a lot of coffee drinking, a lot of pacing, a lot of checking hashtags on Twitter, but I'm thrilled. I'm really delighted.
Tell us about the road you took from putting this novel together to Freeform making it into a series. How did it happen?
Yeah, so my first novel, When You Were Mine, was optioned by Fox 2000 with Scott Neuser and Michael Weber, the screenwriters from 500 Days of Summer and The Fault in Our Stars, to adapt. And that was a very sort of straight mode for a novelist. Like you write a book, it gets optioned, and then your part of the journey sort of ends there. And with Famous in Love, I knew that I wanted it to be different. Like, I really felt like it was mine. I wanted to see the story through. So before the book was published, actually, I thought that it would make a really great television show, and I thought about writing the pilot. So I took a stab at it, and I wrote the first draft of the pilot. And once we had it, we brought it to Bella Thorne, who plays Paige Townsend, and Marlene King, who's our showrunner and my co-creator, and they both love the project, and we're very grateful that they signed on. And then Marlene did subsequent passes on the script, and we became co-creators of the show. And then we took it out, and Freeform bought it, and yeah, now it comes out on Tuesday.
You know, we're seeing this incredible variety of novelists become involved with television. A week ago, we had Philip Meyer, the Pulitzer Prize-nominated novelist for The Sun. Now his series is on AMC. By the way, about 3 million people saw the premiere last Saturday night. You're now involved. Other people are now involved. What was important for you in terms of adapting your work for television, that you wanted to make sure that no matter what, it got on the screen?
It's a really great question, because obviously it's such a different medium, and television requires so much more story than novels do. But I think for me, the most important thing are the characters and the relationships between the characters. And I think we did a really good job of sort of maintaining that consistency. Obviously, plots will diverge. Like I said, you need a lot more. There's just a tremendous amount of story that's necessary in television. But I think the characters, like the heart and soul to me of a novel, are really the characters and the relationship between them. And so I think we've done a good job of honoring that.
And your main character that Bella plays is a college student who suddenly gets the opportunity to be famous. And it's about how, in one shot, her life totally transforms.
Yes. Yes. She gets plucked from obscurity to star in the next major feature film franchise based on a best-selling book series. So, like, you know, Kristen Stewart or Shailene Woodley, or any of these young stars acting in these major feature film franchises that already have giant fan bases from the novels.
Was there anything out of your experience in terms of fame, or your experience out of what happens when you get the break, that you put into this series?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, part of what drove the concept of the book was really this idea of the dialogue between fiction and reality, which I think we saw reach a crescendo with the Twilight saga of Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, how people saw them on screen, saw their characters falling in love, and sort of desperately wanted that to be mirrored in real life. And when it was, it became like this frenzy. Happened on Vampire Diaries with Ian Somerhalder and Nina Dobrev. And to me, the prime example when I was younger was Katie Holmes and Joshua Jackson on Dawson's Creek. Like, I was obsessed with that show. I was obsessed with their characters, Casey and Joey, on Dawson's Creek. And so when I found out they were dating in real life, it was so validating and exciting for me. And I think, like, the modern moment of TMZ and smartphones and Twitter and Instagram, and this just this sort of constant accessibility that we have to stars is really interesting to explore in terms of that idea. Like, what can remain private at this time?
And how does social media and how does the ability using it to quickly react to what you see, to what you experience, to, let's say, what you get obsessed with, how does that play into the characters in your series?
I think tremendously. I mean, I remember when I was researching the show, seeing like a TMZ video of, I think, Vanessa Hudgens or Ashley Tisdale leaving an ATM vestibule, and it had like 2 million hits. And it was just them getting out of their car, walking inside an ATM vestibule and leaving. And so I think particularly for Paige, as somebody who's very new to this business, it's quite alarming that all of a sudden all of these people care about what she's doing, care about where she goes to school and what she's studying and what she's wearing. I think it can be quite invasive, and I think we'll see her sort of go through that emotional journey.
We're speaking with Rebecca Searle. She is the creator and co-executive producer of Famous in Love. It's Freeform's new dramatic series starring Bella Thorne, and it premieres this coming Tuesday night at 9 p.m. East Pacific time after the final season premiere of Pretty Little Liars. The connection between the two series, executive producer and co-creator I, Marlene King, who was on this program several years ago when Pretty Little Liars was getting underway at Freeform, then known as ABC Family. Rebecca joining us live from New York this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. We thank you for tuning us in on this Good Friday 2017, wherever you are, across the country, around the globe, and Blog Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum, along with Rebecca, here with you from New York. If you have a question or comment, get on the phone and get your voice going, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. Coming on Monday on our program, another great hour for you, Ira Underleader, the executive producer of TBS's popular Angie Tribeca. Kids will be with us. He's our first half guest. And then from the unique Netflix Univision collaboration, El Chapo, which premieres in a week and a half from now, we'll have the creator, Silvana Aguirre-Zegarra, and the producer, Daniel Posada, both with us in an internet radio exclusive. The collaboration, by the way, premieres first on Univision, then on Netflix. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Televise. And coming up a week from Monday, among my guests, the writer and executive producer of what may be one of the most critically acclaimed shows of the year, The Handmaid's Tale, on Hulu, starring Elizabeth Moss, Bruce Miller. Another interview exclusive coming your way soon on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Rebecca, what do you think about Bella and her performance? This is from people who know her dancing and popping along with Zendaya on Shake It Up for a number of years on Disney Channel. This is definitely a 360-degree turn for her.
It really is. It really is. I mean, you know, Bella would be the first to tell you that she's kind of the polar opposite of Paige. Paige is obviously brand new to the industry. Bella has been working since she was 5 years old. Bella has sort of been plucked from obscurity. I mean, excuse me, Paige has sort of been plucked from obscurity. Bella has obviously been, you know, been starring on television shows and doing movies, and she's kind of old hat when it comes to Hollywood, even though she is still so young. She does such a remarkable job of imbuing Paige with the necessary naivete. And I think fans of her are really going to kind of delight in seeing a different side of her. She just really, really shines in this role. And I also think her experience has helped her. She's really brought that to the role, and sort of all of what's coming for Paige, she knows it so intimately because she lives it.
Did she contribute any ideas in terms of how to play her character or how to respond to certain situations of celebrity?
Yeah, I mean, she brings so much to the role in terms of that, and I think that will only continue as we progress and as Paige gets more and more famous and sort of her star rises, because, I mean, being followed by the paparazzi, having endless inquiry into her relationships, like, these are all things that Bella deals with on a day-to-day basis, her relationship with the press. And so, yes, she has a tremendous amount to say about that, and I think that will continue.
Yeah. Let's not forget also that she still has a college role. I mean, she doesn't drop out of college to take on being a star. She stays in college. She decides to have a bi-unique life. And that's part of the issue here is, how does she navigate both successfully?
Yes, yes. And you'll see her, you know, over the course of the first season, really kind of struggle with that. Acting, is her dream, and being in a movie is sort of her biggest fantasy. But she also has obligations to her parents and school, and she wants to get an education, and she wants to maintain that element of her life. You know, her best friends are there. What's it like for them when she's kind of sucked into this new reality? And so you'll definitely see her struggle with this old life and this new one.
Marlene King, as I mentioned, is working with you on this series, and it's going to be an interesting time for her because she's wrapping up Pretty Little Liars also, starting on the same Tuesday night. And one of the things I'm curious about is that her series, Pretty Little Liars, was one of the first on any network to really not just get involved with social media and take full advantage of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Vine, anything else you want to mention, but also to really establish a connection between that audience that follows social media, that uses social media, and the production and her production team. Did she, in terms of working together, give you any ideas about, well, here's the pitfalls of social media to avoid. Here's what you should take advantage of. Here's how, in addition to how the characters and the plot should be shaped.
I mean, I think that they really see it as a positive on Pretty Little Liars. I mean, they really changed the game in terms of the dialogue between fans and creators, and they really, I mean, they call themselves the Pretty Little Liars family, and I think, you know, from an outsider and somebody who is a fan of the show, I think that's really what they created. And so I think she thinks it's a really wonderful thing to be in touch with those fans, to get to hear their points of view, to get to hear their feedback on things, and just to sort of maintain that open dialogue and have fans really feel like they're a part of the creative process and sort of like what's coming to them. So it's really exciting, and I hope that some of their fans will migrate over and become a part of our Fames and Love family.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a writer's room and a producer's room did you have in making Famous in Love? I noticed that you have quite executive producers that you're both surrounded by, including a producer on Revenge, a producer on Getting On, a producer on Queen Sugar, an executive producer on Ready Player One. So there's people who have both film and TV experience in different ways.
Yeah, and it was so wonderful. I mean, you know, I can only speak for myself, but this is my first foray into television. This is my first time even being in a writer's room. And so it was obviously very helpful for me to have people who were such veterans of the industry and who had worked on many different projects and seen things from many different sort of vistas, because this is my first room. I didn't really have anything to compare it to. And television is such its own unique medium. And the mechanics of how it works are so specific that I really needed and very much appreciated that guidance that I was given from all of them. So, and it's quite fun. It's really fun to be in a writer's room. I mean, as a novelist who comes from a background of basically sitting in a room alone and generating ideas and then implementing them, it's really fun to be able to be a part of a dialogue and sit in a room with people with all different kinds of voices and get to talk about varying different viewpoints. Like it was really exciting, and it was very different for me in a very gratifying way.
And what kind of effort was made with you and Marlene and everybody to make sure that both the crew was diverse and the cast was diverse?
A huge one. I mean, it was extremely important to us. It's extremely important to Freeform. It's extremely important to Warner Brothers. We have an incredibly diverse cast. It's very important to us that we feel that people who tune in see themselves in these characters, and both, by the way, in our cast, in our crew, in our writer's room, across the board.
Famous in Love premieres this coming Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Freeform, right after the final season premiere of Pretty Little Liars. We've got the creator and the co-executive producer of Famous with us, Rebecca Searle. She joins me live here in New York this Good Friday 2017 on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Appleman here with you along for the ride. We hope the ride is great where you are, no matter what the weather is or whether you celebrate a holiday or not, by the way. Want to welcome in all our Jewish listeners. Happy continued Passover, and everyone celebrating Easter as well this coming Sunday. Hopefully it'll be a great one here in New York around the country. If you have a question or comment for Rebecca, don't be shy. Phone in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we have another great doubleheader in terms of guests. From National Graphics' first ever scripted series, Genius, we've got the writer and co-executive producer. He's our lead guest, Noah Pink. And then one of the pitching entrepreneurs in the beer industry will join us. She's the founder of Los Angeles-based Golden Road Brewing. She is the host of a new series on Viceland that premieres on April 27th. It's called Beerland, and we've got May Gill, the proprietor of both, with us. That's all coming up a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively and only on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Rebecca, in addition to the overall plot of how someone deals with some celebrity and the consequences, both positive and negative, that can come out of it, were there any other particular social issues that you wanted to explore in your series, at least off the bat?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think in some ways fame is sort of a magnifier for the traditional issues of growing up. I mean, you know, determining who you are, who you want to become, what you want to do, who you want to surround yourself with. I mean, I think these are all issues that young people and hopefully, you know, fans and viewers of the show are going through themselves. And so I think that the addition of fame is really just a magnifier on issues that we all deal with in our teens, in our 20s, in our 30s. It just has a little bit of the heat turned up on it, so to speak.
Yeah. Two arenas that more and more shows are getting into. One is the whole issue of cyberbullying or bullying, period. And another issue that has really popped up of late is this whole opioid epidemic, where we're now learning that about 100 people die every day from overdoses of opioids, whether it's OxyContin, whether it's heroin that's laced with a substance called fentanyl, so on and so forth. We saw this week Tucker Carlson time Fox News devote a whole week of segments to that topic. HBO's got a special coming out that we've showcased here in New York on BK Live, warning this drug may kill you. And I'm curious if those plots, the idea of bullying or the idea of the situation involving opioids or drug addiction may pop up in upcoming plots.
Yeah, I mean, I actually just finished 13 Reasons Why. Her novel over the weekend, and I was blown away with it, which it obviously deals a lot with bullying and sort of these issues in high school. I think certainly a big part of social media, and particularly social media at the level of presence that Paige will reach, where you're a star and you have millions of followers, does involve an element of bullying, and I think that that's something that we will explore in subsequent seasons. It's an interesting balance for us, I think, of sort of maintaining this wish fulfillment element to the show. Like, we want it to feel fun, we want it to feel romantic, we want you to feel like you're kind of coming on this ride with us, and also sort of, you know, put that against the very real grounded issues of our time, and like you're saying, in the underbelly of what it can mean to reach a level of visibility where people can really come after you. So I think it's certainly important to us to explore that, and I think it's something we'll get into as the show progresses.
Incidentally, the executive producer of the Netflix adaptation of 13 Reasons Why, Joy Gomez-Reynolds from Anonymous Content, was on our show 2 weeks ago. And if you haven't seen 13 Reasons Why, see it. It's an amazing show. Selena Gomez, another graduate of Disney Channel, if you will, executive producer of that show, and it's really marvelous. The cast is fantastic. The writing, directing, it's really one of the most unique shows, and it really has a lot to say about suicide. And it also, I think, is going to play a very big role in terms of saving lives, too.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I was just blown away, like you're seeing across the board, the performances, the writing, the directing, the cinematography. I mean, I was in awe, honestly. It's remarkable.
What are you learning about yourself from this whole experience, about what you can do in television, being one of the novelist newcomers to this scene, especially at a time when we're seeing, so many novelists do television, not just creating a show, but actually working the show through from start to finish, but also in this whole arena where we're seeing so many different types of television shows, particularly scripted drama, scripted comedy, come on the air?
Yeah, it's such a good question, and it's one that I think about a lot. Sort of like where do my creative ambitions lie, and what do I want to work on going forward, and what part of this process have I really gravitated towards, and what part of novel writing really still feels like it's my true calling, all of that. But I do, you know, I have had other writers in the YA space that I know come up to me and say, like, you know, like, I was talking with so-and-so about having my book optioned, and you've really inspired me to, like, maybe stay in and, you know, and maybe consult on it or maybe write the pilot. And I just, that makes me so happy. And I hope that more authors feel empowered to be a voice on their adaptations. It's not everyone's cup of tea. And, you know, I had to move to Los Angeles. Those days are very long. Production hours are very brutal. But it was something that I really wanted to explore, and it's something that I found that I really loved and I think I have a voice for, and that was very exciting to me. And so I hope that it is encouraging to other authors who maybe want to explore a similar path to get more involved.
It seems that one of the keys is hook yourself with a good executive producer who knows the reins. Tom Perata from The Leftovers, which final season premiere Sunday on HBO, was on our show this past Monday, and you know, he was also, like you, a newcomer to this 3 years ago, and he loves Damian Lindelof, working with him so much that they would love to, you know, when I asked him, would you do another show with him, he said, without question, you know, heartbeat. And it just seems that that may be a big key, which is get yourself an executive producer who believes in your project enough and can really work with you as a strong collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, and somebody who really understands, like I said, like the business and how it works and sort of, you know, the people involved and just sort of the medium of television. It's a huge, giant, living, breathing organism that has, you know, hundreds of people work on a television show to bring it to life. So yes, absolutely. I think partnering with somebody who really understands the ins and outs and who can kind of bring that gravitas and that power to a project is incredibly important.
Famous in Love, Freeform's newest original dramatic series starring Bella Thorne. It premieres this coming Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time after the final season premiere of Pretty Little Liars. Check your locals for where Freeform is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and the network online, here's where you go, freeform.go.com. That's freeform.go.com. Once again, Famous in Love, this coming Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time after the final season premiere at 8 of Pretty Little Liars. Rebecca Searle, the creator and co-executive producer of Famous, thank you again for joining us. All the best with you, Marlene, everybody involved with the series. Hopefully, Tuesday night's the beginning of not just a wonderful run, but a very long run. And we really appreciate you taking the time on this Good Friday to be with us.
Thank you so much. I had a blast. Thank you for having me.
Stay here, Rebecca. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend. All the greatest.
You too. Bye-bye.
Rebecca Searle, a Famous in Love, joining us live from New York. And again, thanks to Rebecca, and thanks to BMI Extra for joining us this Good Friday 2017 on Tomorrow We Tell. We told you we're going to have an outstanding hour, and we sure did. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out the podcast version of the program over this weekend. You can download your smartphone or tablet from iTunes and take us on the go and share the love. And also, don't forget, we're available along with other Blog Talk Radio shows on the Apple TV app. And remember, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple Store near you or online. Remember, coming up on Monday's show, our underwriter from Angie Rebecca and Savannah Aguirre Zagara and Daniel Posada from El Chapo on Univision and Netflix. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not through those of Blog and Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Coates, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sauber, executive content producer. The co-founders of this enterprise, Alini and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Easter weekend or Passover weekend, depending on what you celebrate. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.